Raising women's voices, one story at a time. Welcome to the She Said Project Podcast. Welcome, friends, to another episode of the She Said Project Podcast. We're so grateful to have you joining us here. I'm Jeanette Jerzyk, your host today, and I've got some special ladies in the studio with me. With me always is
Carrie Rosso, founder.
That's right. She helped create this incredible movement that is now continuing on 6 years in Champaign-Urbana. We're going into year number two in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. And I'm telling you, by the time this podcast airs, I'm confident we will be in, 10 more cities. But that's the goal. The goal is women have stories, Carrie. Everyone has a story. Coast to coast, there's not a woman you know that wouldn't benefit from having a safe base to be vulnerable and share a personal story.
Today's episode is really special to me because part of how we started the show was women sitting around either making inappropriate, that's what she said, jokes, or telling stories, telling the worst parts, like, you're not going to believe what a jerk I was today, I have to tell someone. All those stories that I sit around our kitchens telling with my girlfriends is sort of what I wanted this show to become. Mm-hmm. But then when we create the show, we're very purposeful in making a seat at the table for everyone.
Yes.
And our guest today is someone who literally sits in my kitchen all the time. And so it's very personal. And so I might just have to sit over here and be very quiet because I've never created a show. And this is the one that's going to do me in because it is personal. And it's somebody that I love and felt super protective of. I feel protective of everyone when they're up there, but especially this person because, I'll just say her name, I keep saying this person, Jen Cochran is in the house.
Yeah, she's right here in the studio. Jen appeared in the second That's What She Said show back in 2014. Welcome, Jen.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here today.
No problem.
All right, how did this happen? Let's just start there. How did you wind up saying yes?
Lots of begging and threats maybe from Jill. I'm not sure how it happened. The first year, I said, absolutely no way ever. No, not a public speaker. I have nothing to say. Nothing in my life ever. I never thought anybody needed to hear. I'm boring. Like, there's nothing in my life that I thought anybody would want to hear. And so I said no. And then the next year, of course, Jill came at me hard. And I finally got tired, I think. And I just said, all right. And I thought in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to say yes now and I'm going to back out. For sure, I'm going to back out.
Like, well, and I always laugh because you agreed and then just tried to put it out of your mind and then...
Yes, I did. And when I finally realized that I wasn't going to back out, I kept in the back of my mind, I can cancel this at any point in time. I can throw my body down the stairs. I can break a leg. She can't make me talk on stage with a broken leg, right? So I had things in the back of my mind. And then when I finally realized, no, I'm going to have to do this, I just kind of tried to put it in the back of my mind. And then you kept texting me, like, not just me, but the group. We need your
bio.
Outlines. We need your bios. We need pictures. And I'm like, every time you text me, it's like I wanted to vomit all over again. So and then the night comes, or, close to it. And there's practice. She's like, you have to get on stage and practice. No, you're going to get me on stage once. Maybe, but I did it. I brought my kids with me. I don't know how I did the practice. The practice was worse for me than the actual night. I don't know why, but it was.
Well, it was the first time.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, oh my gosh, this is really happening in 24 hours.
But there's something incredible when there's an audience there that is reacting to what you're sharing.
Yes.
So that moment of your life that you thought wasn't interesting or wasn't valuable, suddenly you have validation. And not that you need validation, but Jen, of all the stories, To say you didn't think you had anything special to offer, the life lessons and the bravery and silliness and amazing moments, shall we say, that you exposed and shared in your story were so delightful and inspiring. Like, I'm sitting here in shock that you were this nervous about how it would be received. And obviously, when the audience was there and they laughed with you and cried with you.
Right.
I mean, what a beautiful emotional experience for everyone.
Yeah. I debated on what to talk about. I think everybody thought I was going to talk about my horrible marriage and living with an alcoholic. And, that was just too deep for me.
Yeah.
So I thought, I can't get up there and talk about these things. First of all, I didn't want to put that out there with my ex-husband. you just don't want to get too personal. And the kids, you don't want them to know everything. So I just went light. And I talked about...
You went light.
Somewhat light.
But you were incredibly vulnerable as well. And I think there's no better time than right now to share with our audience today your story. So Jen Cochran shared her story better, faster, stronger on stage, out of her comfort zone. Champaign Urbana, that's what she said, 2014. Let's take a listen.
All right. There are a lot of people here. Okay. I am a hypocrite. I am a single parent to three kids, and I'm constantly telling them to try new things, color outside the lines, don't worry about who's watching, just have fun and be yourself. Be comfortable with who you are because that is who you're meant to be. Blah, blah, blah. The entire time I'm lecturing my kids about this, I'm hiding behind them everywhere we go. I struggle with social anxiety, and they are my buffers. They have been my buffers for 13 plus years, and I'm really not sure how I'll handle it once they've outgrown me. So I am here to practice what I preach and stop hiding while facing two of my biggest fears, which are public speaking and being in the spotlight. Thank you. So if I cry, you cry with me. If I laugh, you can laugh with me. I have spent the past 15 years of my life avoiding situations such as these. If I'm quiet and move through life undetected, nobody can judge me. Yet here I am, putting myself in front of a group of my peers, serving myself up on a platter, begging to be judged. How did I let this happen? That's another story. Yes. As I was trying to decide on a story to tell, I thought of myself, I thought of my kids, and I thought, if I could go back in time to the age my kids are currently at, what would I have loved to hear from my parents? Which sort of advice would I like to give my kids to get them through the tough years ahead? So, this is to my babies. Here are my top five biggest screw-ups that I hope for them to avoid. First two, a couple hard, so I might cry. One, never allow anyone to make you feel small. I've come a long way. I struggled with everyday things that you would laugh at, like going to the grocery store. There are many days where I would just sit in the car, trying to get the courage to go in. I was worried about running into people I knew, people who judge. I felt small and vulnerable all the time, never really comfortable with myself. This is what happens when you allow people to get into your head. Nearly every night for many years, I would hear, "You're stupid, you're weak, you're lazy, you're fat." This is something that I allowed to happen. This is my fault. I look at my girls, and I pray they're stronger than me, and never allow anyone to make them feel like they're not enough. Two, be yourself and don't compromise your beliefs just to fit in. Way too young. I'm not even going to tell you how young because it's really embarrassing. I was afraid to say no. I was afraid that he wouldn't like me anymore. I was afraid that people would make fun of me for being scared. Never be afraid to say no. Respect yourself and trust the people who truly love you will always be there for you no matter what. Three, laugh at yourself. Embrace your imperfections. Recently, I was in Victoria's Secret. Yes, why would I go to Victoria's Secret? Looking for a strapless bra. The store associate was guiding me through the store. She found a couple of different options. I tried them on. I'm like, don't love them. So she found another one. She can't find my size. So we're standing here, and she looks at the manager on the other side of the store, holds the bra up. What is the smallest size this comes in? As heads turn and focus on my breastless chest. 25 years ago, that situation would have completely humiliated me. Growing up, boys and girls made fun of my small boobs. I was embarrassed and always wore baggy clothes to try and hide. I want my girls to own all of their imperfections and never feel like they need to hide. Four, make good choices. Every day I tell my kids to make good choices. Understand the consequences of your choices. Some choices have long-term consequences that keep you wishing for a do-over, for example. When choosing someone to spend the rest of your life with, choose someone who is selfless and adores you, someone who will make a good father and spouse, someone you can laugh with and cry with and grow old with. Know that you can't change people. Don't even try. While poor choices like that will stick with you forever, some consequences are quick and nearly painless, like when I was 16 years old. My parents moved me from a small town in Iowa to a small town in central Illinois. I wanted simply to go home for homecoming weekend. They said no, of course. So, at 3 a.m., I borrowed the car keys, crawled out of my bedroom window, and drove 450 miles in a stolen car with no cell phone and no GPS. This is when we had paper maps, you know. Good stuff. Good choice? Not so much. Consequences? Yes, there were consequences. But to me, it was totally worth it. My hope is that my girls make better choices than I did. Number 5, communicate. Ask questions. Talk to me. Please talk to me. My parents were non-communicators. We didn't talk about anything. I have adopted a rather unconventional parenting style. While some agree with me, most are appalled. I am brutally honest. When my kids ask me how babies are born, I tell them, they come through your vagina. And yes, it hurts. It hurts badly. When they use words they don't know the meaning of, like douchebag, I not only define it, but I show them pictures. My only struggle is with the subject of masturbation. I can't find myself discussing, I can't do it. In fact, I had the perfect opportunity one day and I totally lied to them, which goes against my grain. But when I got divorced, a few of my girlfriends got me some battery-operated devices. I put them in a box on the top shelf of a closet. One day I get home from work and my girls and two of their friends are lying down giving each other back massages. My first reaction was to snatch them out of their hands, throw them away, and hide in my closet. But I didn't want to freak them out or draw more attention to it, so I simply said, "What you doing?" My youngest, just giving each other back massages. "Yeah, baby, I see that. But you know what? Those back massagers, those belong to Mrs. Rosso." "And I really don't want anything to happen to them, so let's put them away, okay? And please, Lord, don't go home and tell your parents about this." So, my mother always said she hoped I was blessed with a daughter much like myself someday. As my kids are crossing the threshold of puberty, I'm getting a little itchy. I have two girls, and both of them are a lot like me, but the youngest of the two is the one my mother has been praying for. This is for my girls, and a reminder to myself. Life is about living, not hiding. Put yourself in the spotlight on occasion. Love yourself, take chances, challenge yourself, be strong, be kind, be loyal. Work hard and play hard, have fun, focus on the people you love and love you back. Just be you, and you will be enough.
Can I place my order now for one of Mrs. Rosso's back massagers? Yes.
I still to this day say, okay, so I want to be remembered. All the things, all the experiences I've had with her children, I want them to grow up and be like, oh, our childhood friend, Mrs. Rosso, oh, how we loved her. No, now they're going to grow up and say, creepy Mrs. Rosso who left her vibrators at our house.
It is funny because I just told you before the show, I had my girls watch it last night with me, and that was interesting.
How old are they now?
They're 17 and 16 now. Okay. I'm sorry, 18 and 16 now. Sorry, somebody turned 18 in October. You know, they just laughed. My youngest said, Mom, why didn't Mrs. Rosso have those at our house?
Oh, she still didn't.
Last night. Still didn't process it for a second.
Please tell me you corrected this.
I just looked at her and I kind of smiled and walked away. And I don't know what she told her after that. But anyway, they had their own conversations. But it was just funny because she was like.
No, stop talking. This was your chance.
I know.
Carrie, you have a legacy.
So they still think.
Yes.
No, this was your chance.
I'm still pure.
That's right. And you know what? That's okay. Hey, we all need.
You're pure and I have the traveling vibrator show. Whatever.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. It made my night, really.
But what a great story to share that night with a room full of people, strangers, friends, but it broke the ice and it allowed you to be real and vulnerable because things happen.
Yes.
Things happen in life post-divorce. You know, you have to deal with this moment in time.
Right.
I personally love how you dealt with it, but you really did share something that just made all the women laugh and cry together. But you did it for a reason, and you shared the side of you for a reason because your whole goal was to show your children how to take chances and how to be their best selves. That was the theme of your story, not just the vibrator right. story or the bra story. You know, you shared those examples to make a point, and your point was so touching and so beautiful and so necessary.
Yeah. Having girls, I don't know. I could just kind of looked back at myself and I thought, what are the things that I would change? I wasn't always this anxious. I didn't always have this much anxiety and think that I wasn't enough. It came later in life. I used to be pretty vibrant and outgoing, and I had no fear and no problems whatsoever. This came by making bad choices. This came with making bad choices, basically.
So it's natural for you to want to help them prevent some of those.
Yes. And so, yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. And, you know, you want to see your kids thrive, and you don't want to see them make the same mistakes you do. And it's inevitable they're going to. I know 7 years later, I don't even know how, what, 2014, 2020? I have to
it was 2014. We're here in the 2020s.
Yes. So, yeah. So anyway, years later, I'm looking at them and I'm seeing some of them they're making some of the same mistakes, you know, that I've made. But they have to, some of these things they have to learn on their own. And I'm learning that. But as a parent, it's hard to watch your kids hurt.
It's a rite of passage.
Yes.
It's something they have to go through. You did your best, though, man.
I tried.
You tried not just behind closed doors, but you tried in a very public space. And I love that Jen was courageous enough to join us here today, Carrie, because you always talk about her story as an example of the stories don't just come from polished speakers. They come from your friends who are from sitting at your kitchen table, you know, with their knees shaking. Like, that's one of your favorite stories to talk about from past shows. These are real women.
Right. And so for me, Jen was that person. But everybody, we always want somebody up there that there are people in the audience saying, oh my gosh, that's my neighbor or my teacher or my mom's best friend, whatever it is. And for me, I was sitting directly behind Jen. And I literally, no embellishment, could see her legs knocking together. And the first couple sentences, her voice was so small and kind of shaky. And then all of a sudden, she just sort of settled in. And I could feel like everybody was like nodding and wanted her to succeed and wanted her. Like, it was the most powerful experience of the She Said show because all worlds came together. And now it's hard for me to look back at it because I know what we've gone through in those years since. As you might guess, raising teenagers is not for the weak. And so seeing that and knowing how many times she said, not just her own children, but to my children, make good choices, and all of that wrapped up together, I know that every single speaker is that for someone. She's that for me, but everybody that has ever spoken on this stage has somebody out there.
Jen, looking back, are you glad you did it?
Yes.
She had to think about that one for a second.
I was scared. It was one of the hardest things. Not one of the hardest things I've done. Like, I've had to do some pretty hard things, but it was just getting the nerve to stand up, right? But then once I was out there, I'm like, oh, I'm not going anywhere. I have to finish this, and then I can sit down. So I just kind of found a groove, it wasn't a pretty groove, but I got it done.
It was a beautiful groove.
But yeah, I'm glad I did it. I loved the experience, mostly the backstage experience, because you have a lot of fun backstage when you're not doing anything, you know, just goofing around and laughing and meeting people. And
it's a camaraderie.
I mean, it is. Yeah.
She Said Project has become, you know, what Carrie just said, it's so much women supporting women in all the stages of life and through that vulnerable experience. And the women do form quite the camaraderie, and it's just a pleasure to be part of that. And by joining us here today in the studio and giving us permission to share your story with more moms who are out there who are post-divorce or dealing with, you know, young girls who maybe need some guidance making choices, you know, thank you for helping us pass the torch and empowering more moms and more women. And that's why you started the She Said Project, Carrie and Jill and Casey, back in 2013, was to make the world a better place for your daughters.
Right. And Jen's, I think I put on the same yellow music stand that we've used in every show, taped pictures of Jen's kiddos, because I knew by the time she walked up there that she would be pissing herself, basically. Sorry.
Jelly.
Bleep it. But she would. I thought she is going to be so nervous when she gets up there. But if she can see that picture of her kiddos, and that's sort of the image when I watch her piece or listen to her talk, I think of her kiddos and the gift that she gave them, that she continues to give them. But on that night, like, literally it's all wrapped up in a package for them. And it's a gift to ladies, like a reminder, hide your vibrators better.
No kidding.
I think that's this is like a PSA here.
Really? Yes.
Women everywhere, now you know. Knowing is half the battle.
We need to disguise them better.
On our next episode, we'll talk about Jen and Carrie's new business concept.
Yeah.
But that's all the time we have today. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, it's about all the stories. And Jen, thank you so much for just being you.
Oh, thank you for having me. I loved it. It's been great.
You're amazing. Friends, we'll see you next week here on the She Said Project podcast. Thank you for listening to the She Said Project podcast in partnership with Illinois Public Media. All materials contained in the podcast are the exclusive property of the She Said Project and That's What She Said LLC. For more information on our live shows, go to shesaidproject.com. This podcast was made possible with support from Carl and Health Alliance and presented by Sterling Wealth Management, empowering women to live their best lives.